Dear God, we are so grateful that we don't have to try to build a ladder, a stairway, a path to you. We can't do it. But Lord, your love, in your love, you stooped down for us. You made a way. You sent your one and only Son. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we celebrate that. And Lord, if there's somebody here who hasn't ever made that decision, I pray they would grab hold of that. Come and talk to one of us. Lord, we thank you for the gift of Christmas, who is Jesus Christ himself, Prince of Peace. I ask your blessing, your peace on each person here. We ask it in the powerful name of your Son. Amen. So I invite you at this time to get up and go to one of the four tables. There's two in the front, two in the back, and participate in the Lord's Supper. If you're not a believer, just use this as a time of reflection to think about Christ and his claims.
Don't worry, my boy. You'll be nice and warm. I wrapped you in your mother's old blanket. Some start we've had, huh? A 90-mile walk, just so you can get born in a stable. You know, if we were back home in Nazareth, I could build you a fine crib. But here, no crib. I have to put you to sleep in the hay. Visit from an angel? Mm-hmm. Had to write it down so I wouldn't forget what it said. Joseph, son of David, fear not to take Mary for your wife. For what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will save the people from their sins. Did you hear that? You will save us from our sins. You are the Messiah. And I've been chosen to be the Messiah's papa. I do not know how it will happen, but I'm done doubting. I want to tell you how happy that you make me. No, it's more than happiness. It's, what did the shepherds say the angels told them? They bring good news. Great joy. Yes. That's what it is. It's joy. That's what you bring me. My sweet, beautiful boy. You bring me so much joy.
If you think about the gifts that Jesus leaves under the tree for all of us, I just mentioned one, peace, but Joseph just mentioned another, which is joy. And that's what I want to talk about this evening. In Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, the heart of the Christmas story, we see, but the angel said to them, that was to the shepherds, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. I've spent a lot of time over the last week or two thinking about this particular passage. It is the heart of Christmas. And I love this phrase, good news that will cause great joy for all people. Jesus brings us joy. He is the ultimate source of happiness and joy. And I'm going to use those words interchangeably. Now, I think we need to acknowledge that a deep-seated joy, it can be a little complex. It doesn't mean every circumstance is going your way or it's always easy. I liked a picture I saw on Facebook the other day that a friend of mine posted. I want you to see it. You've done family pictures, haven't you? Joy can be a little bit complex. It says joy. It doesn't look like joy. And, you know, we want happiness and joy. All of us want it. And it doesn't seem like as many find it. Even our Declaration of Independence talks about the idea of pursuit of happiness, that it's a right. You know, we all want joy. It's something that we hunger for. It's something that we desire. You know, the God who made the universe, who made this earth, after each day would stop and say, it is good. And I think he smiled. I can't imagine that he didn't smile when he looked at that. At the heart of all eternity is a God who smiles, who loves us, who cares about us, who wants us to experience joy. But we sinned. Adam and Eve sinned, and we have all joined them. We have all sinned, and so we have marred and broken this world. And so our joy is going to look a little complex. It's going to look like those family photos. But I think that one of the big keys, the key to joy, is to choose Christ, to choose him, to follow him, to make him the Lord of your life. He is the key to joy. If you stop and think about what he gives, just a few of the things. He forgives us of our sins. I mean, what a relief. What a relief. He offers us purpose and meaning to life. He demonstrates that we are loved sacrificially. I mean, who else, honestly, has died for you besides Jesus? I mean, maybe you've had somebody die for you. Most people have not, but Jesus did. He loved us that much. And then he gives us the Holy Spirit who dwells within us and enables us to walk in his power. And so it is powerful. And so when we choose Christ, it allows us to choose joy as we go through life, even if it's difficult, even if it's hard. That's why the Apostle Paul can say things like, rejoice always. And he gives us one of the keys. No matter what we're facing in our lives, no matter what you're facing this holiday season, maybe you're walking through grief. You've lost someone to death, or you've gone through a time of brokenness. But I love what Paul says. He talks about one of the ways we find joy is to focus on whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Well, nothing is more praiseworthy than Jesus himself. I love what author Neil Pasricha says about happiness. He says this, happy people don't have the best of everything. They make the best of everything. And so if Jesus walks beside you and through the power of the Holy Spirit, he can give you the ability to find joy even in difficult circumstances. And so he is the key to happiness and joy. The second idea is that he offers us connection, and connection is critical to happiness. Jesus models the importance of connection. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says this, for the joy set before him, this is speaking of Jesus, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What's the joy set before him? I think there's a lot to it. I think it's multifaceted, but I think a key part is this. The joy set before him is that we get to have relationship with him, that he was willing to go through the cross and the shame of it and the pain and the wrath of God itself, of Father God himself, so that he could walk in relationship with us, so that we could become his children, we could be part of his family. And that is absolutely incredible. See, connection is crucial to happiness. If you ask somebody, what makes you happy? Almost always you're going to get an answer about connection. They're going to talk about their kids or their spouse or ultimately about God. Because connection is key to us having happiness. I love what the Westminster Shorter Catechism says about, they kind of do questions and answers about mankind and what our purpose is. And it says this, what is the chief end of man is the question. And the reply in that catechism is man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. I love that, to enjoy him forever. You know, I've been married for over 25 years, and my wife can still surprise me. There can still, sometimes an opinion will come out that I didn't expect or a story I hadn't heard. And if another person can do that, can still be mysterious, so to speak, after 25 years, think about the eternal God of the Bible, the maker of heaven and earth. We will spend eternity getting to know him, experiencing the fullness of that connection with him. And that's how we find joy, is we start that connection here in this life. And it comes to fruition and fullness in heaven, which I think gives us the third key when it comes to happiness and joy. You know, it's coming to Christ, it's connection, and then also it's to think long term. And ultimately that leads to heaven. You know, joy is not determined by our struggles, but by our willingness to look at our future destiny, to look forward, to look long term. And we see this even in simple things here in life. Our oldest son liked to wrestle, and he did that for a time, and he did it in high school. But there was one stretch where it was really brutal, you know, the 3-hour practices, and it just wasn't fun anymore. And he decided to quit. And he came to my wife, and they talked about it, and so... she wasn't real excited about his decision, but he wanted to quit. And so she took him, and they went to go look for the coach, and they couldn't find the coach. But then that gave him another day to think about it, and he thought about it and kind of mulled it over and decided, no, I better stick with this. And he did, and he ended up, he got a championship in the state, and it actually helped him go to college. There was scholarship, and all of these things happened. And ultimately, when he was in college, he met a female wrestler who ended up becoming his wife. And I remember sitting around dinner with our whole family, and somehow we got on the subject of wrestling because he still loves it. And we talked about how that moment, that decision, could have changed a lot in his life. But at that moment, he chose to think long-term. And the ultimate long-term thinking is to think about heaven. To think about eternity. So often we make the wrong decision when we're thinking about the short term. We're thinking about instant gratification. You want to be happy in life? Think long term and expand that vision to include heaven itself. See, death is the ultimate enemy. But Jesus predicted his own death and walked out of his own grave and overcame that and offers us life. And so Christmas and the resurrection tied together, he offers us life. And so we see we can think long term, and that can give us joy even if our circumstances are difficult. He offers us this breathtaking promise about eternity with heaven, with him in a place, the new heavens and the new earth, where there's no more tears, there's no more death, there's no more grief, there's no more illness, no more betrayal, no more sin. You take the best marriage here, it's not going to be as good as any relationship in heaven, because even the best marriage here has some sin in it, some selfishness, or whatever it might be. And so we have this breathtaking promise that through Christ, we can find and experience heaven. You know, Jesus, he gives us this promise. He says he goes to prepare a place for us. And I love that line, prepare a place for us. I get a little taste of that every time I go back to Indianapolis where I grew up. My parents are still there. My sister and her family are still there. And I go to Indianapolis and I show up and my mom prepares a place for me. And so my favorite foods, she makes them. If there are certain things I want to go to, places, she'll do that. They'll make that happen, my parents. And they prepare a place for me. It's a little glimpse of what heaven's like. And whatever somebody here can do for you is nothing compared to what Jesus can do for you. Heaven is going to be a remarkable place, an incredible place of reunion. Have you ever lost someone who is a Christian? If you're in Christ, you will see them again. You will reunite with them again. I can't wait to get to the gates of heaven. That may be one place that I want to hang out a lot, to see those reunions. I want to see my grandfather again, who had such an impact on my life. Some of you have been in the military and have served and done long deployments, and those are precious moments when you reunite with your spouse or your kids or your good friend or even your pet. Have you watched some of those videos? Those are fun. And heaven is about that reunion. That's part of the joy that is offered to us if we will think long term. It is a remarkable place of pleasure. And part of the joy of heaven is that everything you do here, there's an echo in eternity. Whatever you do for God here, you'll be rewarded for it. Maybe people don't notice when you serve. Maybe people don't notice when you do things for God. When you evangelize, maybe you feel like you're not being fruitful. But when you serve God, He notices that, and He promises us He will reward us. And so whatever you do for God echoes in eternity, and that's part of the joy when you think long term. I like what C.S. Lewis says about heaven. He says this, he describes it like a book. He says, chapter one of the great story which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. Whatever you're facing today, whatever you're facing in this holiday season, if you're in Christ, think about your destiny. Think long term and hear Him whisper to you, all will be well. And so my conclusion is this. I want to encourage you to embrace Jesus Christ. And with that, by embracing Him, ultimately you are embracing happiness and joy. Before I pray and turn it back over to the worship team, and we're going to do the candlelight with the Silent Night song, I just want to mention a couple things. One is, if you desire for someone to pray with you, you can just head into this room over here with the door is open, and someone will come in. We have somebody who will come pray with you after the service. Happy to do that. Also want to mention to you, there's a pretty serious cookie buffet out in the lobby and kind of spread around in the coffee area. Please feel free to eat to your heart's content within reason, right? I guess. And we encourage you to do that and have some coffee. Feel free to hang out for a few minutes afterwards and do that. Also just want to mention, as you leave, we'll be handing you a list, just something for you to check out in case you're interested. We're offering, I think it's about 26 small groups over the next couple months. And so all those opportunities, we're handing a copy of that. And I encourage you to take a half hour and read through some of those. Those are opportunities to study the Word of God, to meet with other Christians, to get to know some people better, or get to know some people for the very first time. And so I just want to give you those opportunities and mention those to you. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to turn it over to the worship team. And so when they come along the ends of the rows and light your candles, please turn and light the candles of the person next to you, and so that we can get everybody lit for this final song. Parents, I do encourage you to monitor your children with candles. We have paid up our insurance, but I'd rather not use it, right? So, all right, let's pray, and then we'll turn it over to the worship team. Dear God, we thank You for Christmas. We thank You for this holiday that points us to so many good things like generosity and peace and joy. Lord, we are grateful for Jesus. We thank You for the happiness and the joy that can be found in relationship with Him, when we walk in connection with Him. And Lord, we look forward to the eternal pleasure of heaven, a place that's missing so much from the view that marks and mars our lives here, illness and disease and death and betrayal and hurt. Lord, we thank You that this is not it, that this is not the end, that heaven is just the beginning if we know Your Son. Lord, I ask for Your blessing on each person here and that Christmas may move from just being a holiday, from being a holy day, where a real connection grows and develops in the life of each person here with you. I ask this in the name of your Son. Amen.